Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM, a program. Yes, a program. Heard all over the world. Thanks to the internet. Meant to bring you some ideas, concepts. Just, you know, the raw to lead a more positively minded life. And we're going to be talking today, we're going to continue in the series on relationships. I call this positive coupling. Positive coupling. When you try to become a couple with somebody else, which is what a lot of people like to do, seems that there's something in nature that says, get a partner and you're going to be happier. Get a partner and you're going to live longer. Find somebody you could be with decently and you're going to be happier and healthier and so on and so forth. So that's the kind of thing. A lot of people do very well alone. And a lot of people have figured out all the people who are good out there are taken and therefore I'm going to be happy alone. Or maybe you decided to be with your puppy or your cats or whatever it is. But this is about trying to make the best possible relationship, assuming that you either have one, or had one, or are working on one. And today what I want to give you is tools. Yes, tools. They don't give you tools in school. They don't give you tools when you're a kid. They don't say, here's how to have a good conversation, because if you listen to your parents, you don't hear good conversation. They're trying their best, but they're being expedient. They're moving quickly. Some of them are actually being vicious with each other. Some are manipulating. You don't learn. You go to school, and then you have the teachers telling you how relationships should be, but they don't know. And you watch the movies, and you see what the movies tell you the relationship should be. But these are ideals. These are things that are meant to stimulate parts of you. So how do you know how to run a relationship? Today we're going to give you a lot of hints. Today we're going to teach you a few tools that are going to be very, very valuable. And I think if you're anywhere near a tape machine, press your record button because this is valuable. By the way, I read yesterday that there is a new instrument, a new tool that you could attach to a computer that enables you to record a radio program like you could do TiVos. So the people who can't hear our program at 1 o'clock or any of the other programs that you may want to hear can now press a certain button and have this run into your computer at will. It's amazing, and it's cheap. It's like a $50 thing. So it's a new item. I don't know enough about it. You have to check with your computer people. Let's go back to relationships. What type of relationship do you want to have? You know, most of us want to have some kind of a co-committed relationship. Commitment, such a funny word. It goes so well with Bellevue. You know, committed. Committed, as if, you know, I'm... So committed relationship. What is a committed relationship? If two people are committed, number one, I think they speak the truth. That's a nice thing, and that's a good quality. Number two, they make and keep agreements. Number three, they participate freely in the process of intimacy building. They are thinking to themselves, I want us to get closer and closer, so I'm going to participate in this activity called intimacy building. You can call it whatever you want. We're going to get closer. And I want to get closer with you, however I could do it. A couple who is committed to making the relationship work has baseline agreements. And the other thing about this commitment is that it has a priority in your life. It's more important than almost anything. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. We're talking about relationships. Right now I'm giving you some vagaries, the philosophy, the underlying part. We're going to get very specific. For example, learning how to argue versus learning how to fight. Don't you ever wish you could talk to somebody? And when you're talking to them, don't you wish it was like breathing? Here's the way it should be. I mean, if we get it down to its ideal, if you had a best friend or a co-worker, if two of you were working together to send up a rocket ship in space or to develop a better mousetrap or a better bathtub, whatever it is, you'd be curious with each other. You know, you'd look at each other and the person would give you an idea. When you work with somebody intelligent and you listen to their ideas, they breathe out their words to you, and you breathe in their ears without their words without any reservations. It's like a breathing thing, the exchange that takes place between you. It's easy. It's like breathing. For most people, when they talk to each other, it's like you got to defend yourself against what's being said. It's like you hold your breath when you listen. It's quite different. So the ideal is to imagine a conspiracy. To inspire is to breathe in. To conspire is for two people to breathe together. You want to develop a rhythm. Conspiracy. You want to have a conspiracy. Let's breathe together. Let's conspire. One of the important things about learning to argue or fight is to recognize that there are two equal, full adults. Now, you may not think that you're equal, full adults, but if you put each of you out in the world, you will find that you may handle things differently and maybe not as effectively, but if there was a disaster, if there was a fire, both of you would handle it pretty darn well. There is two adult parts of you. There's an adult part of you that is ready to deal with the world. That what you need in a conversation or in a relationship that's growing, you want to get two full adults in here. Now, we're going to have to go into this in detail quite a bit. Because let's talk about the child. Everybody's working at discovering their inner child, uncovering their inner child, bringing their inner child to the table. They are looking at the creativity of their inner child. You know, like I know Roberta Atti is doing a workshop this weekend on creativity. But it doesn't focus on the inner child. You know, the idea of going to the inner child to find everything is a great idea. The inner child, the part of us that holds all the emotions, needs expression. But it does not need expression when trying to have a conversation with somebody you love in trying to improve the space of intimacy. No, my friends, the children don't know how to talk. The children may be represented by the adult you, but in a good conversation, in a relationship conversation that is going to work, you need the two adults. Now, here's the problem. Somebody brings the child in, and they bring the child into this, and I'm going to have a discussion with you, and I'm going to run around, and they start really becoming very emotional. I am one of the great defender of people's emotions. I value them more than anything, but I do not value them in a relationship discussion, the intention of which is to find more intimacy. No, if your adult can't come to the table, wait a while. Bring the adult to discuss this. Because the child only knows how to rage, how to cry, how to scream in pain, and how to accuse. Those don't work. I mean, you may think they work because you're expressing yourself. But the response to it usually is to have somebody who either counterattacks, not doesn't become an adult, they become a parent in response to you. They start criticizing you, or they go dull to you, they go numb. It's not a way to do it. In a relationship, and as a relationship therapist, which I am, one of the things we do is we try to get some kind of a level playing field, a place where people are not so emotionally wrapped up. Because if you have this deep emotional wrap-up, if you have the screaming and the yelling all the time, that requires individual therapy. Not the couple's work, because you can't talk to each other. and you can't talk to each other at home. So when you're going to have a discussion, one of the things you need is you need to have the adults at the table. How do you do this? It's very difficult to keep the adults at the table, especially when you're very emotional. Let's go, for example, to the case of somebody who made dinner at 6 o'clock, and honey, whoever honey is, he or she, doesn't get home at 6. So you don't know when they're getting home, and you're a little annoyed. You put the wine, you opened it to air it out, now it's turning to vinegar. You know, well, it has to be a pretty old wine to do that. You have candles that have burned down to the nub, or is it nib? Whatever little thing the candles get to. There's wax all over the table. The tofu meatloaf has turned into a rock, and the vegetables have gone limp. Yes, one of those tragic things that happen at dinner. And this is what's happened, and it's now 6:30, and the mate walks in as if nothing's wrong, and you, the preparer of the meal, are visibly, and you feel very upset. How do you communicate that to the person who walked in as if nothing's wrong? What are you feeling inside? You either feel depression, you feel rage. What do you do? Well, you know, if you went to couples therapy, they would try to get you to express your feelings. But, you know, this is the trouble with expressing your feelings, is you're so loaded. Here's what I heard one person do when she approached her mate in this exact situation. Listen to this one. She said, "Oh, I've got to tell you how upset I made myself today. I was on this thing about getting this dinner exactly perfect, and you know how I could get compulsive like that? Well, I did it. I got full bent. I really didn't consider that you might come home whenever you felt like coming home or a little later than we agreed. And I had everything so timed that I made myself crazy. I got myself so tense that by the time you got home at 6:30, I was completely bent out of shape. I don't know why I do that to myself. I'd like to talk to you about it because I am so sensitive to it that I think what I'd like to do from now on, honey or sweetie or tofu or whatever you use, from this moment on, what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, because I get this kind of nuts about preparation, would you please call me if you're going to be late? You know, so I could kind of put stuff on off the heater and stuff. And also, I'm going to try to get the exact time that you're coming home if I'm going to do this kind of thing. Because you may have never said you're going to be home at 6. You may have said around 6. So I am going to not make myself crazy anymore. I'm going to ask you with agreement if you would do me a favor and call me if you ever are going to come home late, whatever it is, and I'll make it work, and let me know exactly what time we're meeting." That's what I heard this person say. I was shocked. Do you think that honey got defensive over that? Honey was bowled over. Said, "All right, I'm sorry, you know? I'm sorry I did this with you. I wish I had been more. I didn't know, you know, but it was easy. It was like breathing." Now, how do you think honey would have responded if, "Now look at what you did. You destroyed my life. You came home and the potatoes turned to mush, and you made the wine. I ruined it. I had a perfect bottle of Chateau Yquem open for you, and I had this other thing ready, and, you know, you do all of these things, and you blame them walking in the door. I wanted you to be here at 6 o'clock and sit down and start eating right that moment." You know, I've seen people do that on holidays. Thanksgiving. Everybody's got to sit down now because the turkey's coming out at exactly the right moment. Well, there's a real truth to this little crisis because timing in a family dinner is very important to the cook, but not to the cookies. Them who get the benefit of the cook. It is not that important. They want to have a nice time. Oh, there you are, brother. I haven't seen you in a long time. They want to hug each other. They want to do whatever they want. But to the cook, it's so important because if you don't do it on time, you wind up with the worst thing that could happen to a human. Limp vegetables. All right, so this is Armand DeMille. We're talking about some of the relationship tools, my friends, and we're going to be talking about many of them, so here. So what you want to do is you want to have a relationship where you could bring two adults to the table. And you want to, and one of the things that you do when you're talking about something, if possible, is a thing called a mirror. This is very important. A mirror is for a person to stop. Let's say we're going to have a conversation. You want to tell me something. You tell me something, and then I say, let me see if I understand, and I repeat it back to you. So let me see if I understand. You made yourself very upset because you had prepared this meal and expected me to come home on time, and I didn't really know about it, and you got very upset and more upset, and you're saying that you would like me to agree. Is that what you're saying? So if you can mirror accurately, the person agrees or doesn't agree with what you're saying. If they will agree that, yes, what you've just said is exactly what I meant to say, see? Then you move on to the next thing. See, mirroring is very important. Mirroring without changing, to see if I could understand the words in what you're telling me, a very important tool in relationships. Once you have a mirror, then you could respond to it. If you're going to make an agreement, you continue talking back and forth with the mirror until you come to an agreement. The agreement needs to be specific, concrete, observable, measurable, and attainable. Okay, concrete thing. Somebody, we'll talk about stepmother or stepfather syndrome. Man comes into the life of a mother who is divorced and she has a child, and she says to the man, I want you to have a better relationship with my daughter. Right? I want you to adopt the role of stepfather. And he says, well, I'm a little uncomfortable with that because I've noticed that you and your daughter, when you get together, you kind of exclude me. I don't feel welcome into the relationship, and so on and so forth. A conversation like this could get very heated. There could be accusations that come out of this that throw barbs at each other and you accuse each other. You never wanted to. I always wanted to. You get in the way. That's how it goes wrong. And you know who suffers? The child. They never get the advantage of it. So let's try it this way. Let me understand if this is what you're saying. You'd like me to have a relationship with your daughter, and you have a sense that I have not put all the work into it that I could, and it would really mean a great deal to you if I do that, right? You could actually say that. That's a mirror. And the person agrees or doesn't agree on that's exactly what she meant. Conversation is much easier at this point. What happens when a conversation goes out of whack? What happens when you're talking for 20 minutes, you know, and then comes the blab factor? The blab factor. The blab factor is when one person starts talking, they start loading everything on. They start talking about everything and they don't stop. Everything they could do to get it in for the moment because they haven't been able to talk to you, so they just keep blabbing, they keep going, and they keep bringing in stuff. So one person would try to limit it, but here's the rule, my friend. It's really a good rule. You could write this one down. If you're having a conversation with somebody for 20 minutes, and if after the first 20 minutes you don't feel better than you did 20 minutes ago, stop the conversation. If you didn't get anything out of this conversation that made you feel better. Now, how could you feel better if your mate is coming to you and complaining about something? Well, maybe they want to say that they have a complaint, but within 20 minutes, the two of you have grown closer if you're being effective. If you have not grown closer, stop the conversation. Stop it. It isn't working. What doesn't work after 20 minutes on some level is not going to work, I promise. So there's a 20-minute time level. If you don't feel better, about your communication and about the issue 20 minutes into the conversation, give it up. Now, here's the rule. Either person can stop the conversation. If one or both of you say, this isn't going too well, we have the rule that goes like this. There's a one-hour rule, there's a 24-hour rule, and there's a bring-it-to-your-therapist rule. Here's the way it works. If I want to stop this conversation because I don't like the way it's going, I'll say to you, look, I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way this is going. I'm going to come back to you in an hour, and we're going to try again. 1 hour from now, the one who stopped the conversation goes back and says to its partner, we're going to try again. Let's go into this again. If it doesn't work after 20 minutes, you say, I'm going to talk to you about this tomorrow. I just can't seem to get this straight. We seem to be too heated. If after 24 hours, if 24 hours later you can't get any of this to get better within 20 minutes, take it to a third party. Bring it to somebody else. Either you go individually to your therapist, or the two of you find a therapist, or you go to a friend, or you do something. But take it outside, because it's not going to work. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. We are talking about relationship tools. Now, where do you have these conversations? You know, let's say the two of you get in the car. Is a good way to have a conversation to wait till your mate is driving and you know that they're trapped and then say, I want to talk to you about something? No, not a good time. What is a good time? Well, here's what everybody needs to do. Most people live in Manhattan and in New York in relatively small spaces. It is very hard to find a sacred place. But if you could design a space in your house, in your apartment, where the two of you could sit knees to knees and talk face to face, it becomes a sacred space. Now, I've seen people create practically an altar to do this. They create a space that looks beautiful. They light candles around them. They make it a ritual, the space, our space. You don't violate the space. You don't use the space to pack up your books and leave your books in the room, you know. You leave it alone. It could be 4 feet by 5 feet. It's all you need. But you kind of leave the space to be sacred. It has to be comfortable. It has to be safe. It has to be warm. It has to be private, attractive, lockable, meaning you could close it and nobody will go near it. And in an intimacy place, it's a place where only positive energy, meaning energy that is working towards our becoming more intimate, is allowed. You got the idea? A space. It could be your garage. It could be outside. Let's go talk. But you go outside, you do something outside so that you could do it. So here we are, my friends. We're talking about rules. Hey, do you know about the Mulligan rule? Let me teach you about the Mulligan rule. This is really good. When you're a kid, did you ever do do-overs? It's also called a mulligan. A do-over. You know, you get up and you're going to play punch ball. And you swing at the punch ball and something goes wrong. You hit a rock by mistake, or you're playing skip rope and something goes wrong. You know, you're double dutching your way into fame and something happens. You trip on a shoe and so you, even though it's a little bit of a contest, you say to your friend, do-over. Or you say mulligan. Mulligan is used around the country. I don't know who Mulligan was, but whoever he was, they named the do-over after him. Here's the way you use it. You come home at night, you walk in the door, you walk in and you're feeling frustrated and angry, and you walk in the door and you start shouting and yelling and your partner's watching TV, and you go over and you change the channel and then you turn on the lights. One of the worst things that people ever do to each other is they change the audio quality or the visual quality of the person's space when they enter it. You walk into a person's room and you turn on the lights. Jeez, what a thing to do to a person. You change the sound. What are you doing to them? But let's say you're just filled with yourself and you've just had a tough day and you walk in and you want to have a brighter room and you want to have your TV changed and you do it. And then you catch yourself doing it. And you go, uh-oh. Imagine if you could say to your mate, Mulligan, do over. And they, instead of hitting you with a brick, look at you and say, okay, and you get up, and you walk outside, and you come in all over again, and you do it more gently. Called a mulligan. Very, very good idea. Easy to respect. When you say do-over or mulligan, the other person says, wait a minute, I don't need to get into an argument about this. Person just realized they were being foolish in the way they treated me. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We have many, many, many more things to bring you over today and many other days. Someone said to me once, how do I get him to sit down at the table to talk to me? And I said, well, what's he going to get out of sitting down at the table? If this is somebody who you don't like talking to, who doesn't like talking to you because you're always accusing him of being some kind of inadequate being, you're always blaming him. How could you, what could you do? And she said, I can't imagine what to do to get him to want to be there. Well, I know this sounds very ridiculous, but you know, it's really much easier than you think. Imagine the following. Imagine you say, honey, I want to talk to you about something. I do not want to accuse you. I do not want to hurt you. I want to work something out with you. Would you please do it with me? And what I will do is I will go get a basin of water. Could be plastic, you know, could be like one of those 3-foot by 2-foot things. I will fill it with warm water. I'll put in some Epsom salts or some other salts. And please sit down, soak your feet. I'm going to do that on this side of the table, too. I'm going to soak my feet. So we're going to have a conversation while we're soaking our feet. Now, this is not such a bad idea. Can you get what that feels like? Can you get the idea that you're sitting there talking to someone you love and you're soaking your feet and you get a little angry, but this kind of energy is coming out of your body and your partner has provided this for you and for them? What a nice thing. Doesn't that make for a peaceful place? Doesn't that make for, or a place where you may want to be? And then here's the other thing. If you get really upset and you got to walk out, you got to risk walking around and stomping wet feet all over the floor. You know what I mean? So you give yourself a second thought. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I am a relationship therapist and couples therapist and have been one for 30 years. And I've been teaching people how to do therapy for 30 years. Now, for 20 of the 30 years, I supervise people. I find that couples counseling is a really interesting art, but not practiced well in general. I find that people very often need negotiators, people to help them out, but they also need tools. So I'm giving you these tools, and I want to tell you that there are a series of other tools on my website, thepositivemind.com. You can look at that in the internet, and there's going to be something called 7 guidelines for a more effective communication. We're going to be coming back. If you have to leave us and wanted a copy of today's program, you would call 212-757-4488. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, a little music and then more relationship tools.
Hi, this is Danny Glover. You're tuned
into
WBAI.
Bring your music up.
Supported non-commercial radio in New York.
And that, my friends, is DJ Crush. I think it's C-R-U-S-H. DJ Crush. Not the one, Michael, I told you I was going to be playing because I just found this hot little piece of music and I thought it was just terrific, so I'm throwing it on. I'll throw the other one on at the end because I think it's so fabulous. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Hey, if you've been trying to reach the DeMille Center, we've been having some telephone troubles because of water abundance in some kind of circuitry, and we've been... Our phones have been down, down, down. It's been tough. We have a couple of alternate lines. It's 757-5555 if you can't get through to us. Okay, let's talk about this. If you just tuned in for the very good music, this is Armand DeMille trying to talk to you about some relationship tools that I've learned over the years, not just mine, things I've picked up from other people, things that you could do to make a relationship discussion work. Here's something called the diffusing process. Let me teach you a diffusing process. You're loaded, right? You're in a conversation. You get angry. You feel like you just took steroids, right? And suddenly, you don't like the conversation. Get away from it. Do something to break away, but make sure you promise to come back. When you get away and on your own, don't just calm down. Breathe slowly and deeply in a private space. Then name the feeling that you're having. Name it. So there you are really frustrated and you kind of go out and you say, I can't stand this person, I hate this person. But you see, that's all focused on them. Whenever you get that far bent out of shape, you need to find out what's going on for you. When you get so bent out of shape, it's time for you to discover what's going on with you. You need to name the feeling away from the other person, so just don't make the feeling about them. You go out on your own, and you say things to yourself. Let's say you walk outside. What am I feeling, you say. Not what am I thinking, but what am I feeling. And you're going to find words like, I feel exhausted, I feel confused, I feel guilty, I feel suspicious, I feel hurt, I feel hysterical, I feel angry, I feel embarrassed, I feel disgusted, frightened, you know, all these things you're going to say to yourself. I feel shocked, enraged. All of these feelings or thoughts are something that is worth identifying. You will find that if you could name the feeling, then you have a second task. You are saying, all right, I'm feeling angry. Now rate the intensity from 1 to 10. How angry are you? Are you a 3 angry, 5 angry, 7 angry, 9 angry? Are you depressed? How intense is this? Is it a 3 depression, 4 depression, 5 depression, 6 depression? Now listen. This is all you need to do. Name it and judge the intensity. Now, what you don't want to do is name the feeling connected to the other person. You want to say, this is what I feel. I am angry. Forget about them now. You're angry. I'm angry at a 9. I feel hateful at an 8. I feel sad at a 4 or an 8 of sad. All you need to do is name the feeling, recognize it, judge the intensity. Now, at that point, calm down. Yes, whatever it is. Engage in something that is self-soothing. You know? Something. Do something. Take a short walk. Have a cup of tea. Do something. Check for your overcharge. Ask yourself the following. Does this situation really warrant this intensity? Now, it's very important once you recognize. Remember, the two rules if you're going to break away from a relationship discussion is you're going to ask yourself, what is the feeling I'm having? And don't say, I feel that she is picking on me. No, that's not your feeling, you see. But you could say, I feel victimized. See, just take the other person out of the picture. Because what you want to do is be able to identify a feeling that you have felt throughout your life. You want to be able to trace it. The reason we overreact to a situation is always because it has history. You see, anger is not a bad thing to feel. Rage is a symbol. Rage is a sign that there is a load, a baggage of stuff from the past coming up during that situation. So it never pays to rage at your mate. You're bringing in your entire history. Now, here's your question when you're working with yourself. Now that you've kind of soothed yourself a little bit, you got your cup of tea. Check for overcharge. Ask yourself, does this situation warrant the intensity of my reaction? And if so, ask yourself the following things. Now, this is what you do with you when you're trying to have a relationship discussion and you find it's going downhill and you don't know what to do. Ask yourself, does something in this situation remind me of another event in my history? Is this like what I used to feel as a kid? You'll find that on almost every overcharge, you could identify a history. And it's very important. Because, you see, part of the reason the mind blocks your ability to be effective in your communications is it doesn't want to remind you of the history. It wants to block your perception that these feelings were something you felt a long time ago. It wants you to believe that this is about today. It's not about today as much. Today may be a small part of it, but the reason you're having the overreaction is because of yesterday. So you ask yourself, if you've got the power to do it, does something in this situation remind me of another event in my history? And now here's a really good one. Does the voice remind me of anyone? Very often you could be arguing with a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, and they're talking to you. And suddenly you look at their face and they'll be moving their lips. And you won't hear them anymore. You'll just see these words coming out of their mouth. And it just makes you boil. And you feel, oh, and you really don't see them. You disconnect. You may even have violent fantasies about hitting them upside the head with a 2x4 or something. But you don't hear them talking anymore. And now if you go off on your own, you'll say, does that voice remind me of anything? And you try to trace it back. This is really hard work, friends, but it's really worthwhile. The last one is, does this trigger me into something from my family? Am I in the same spot I was with my family? That's what you're going to look to it. Okay, so now you ask yourself the questions. And then you go back to the conversation with your mate. You don't have to own up to your stuff. You don't have to give them all your history and what you found out about yourself. But you could say, you know, I started to overreact. I'm glad I took the break. Let's try this over again. And again, as I said, if still overcharged, call for another timeout for 24 hours. And then during that time, you know, if you can't get past your own stuff, make sure you ask one of your friends or somebody else to talk to you about what's going on with you. And don't find somebody who's ready to blame your partner, to trash your partner. You know, don't go to somebody who's just likely to trash your partner because they like to trash your partner. You don't need that. You know, you need somebody who's going to work with you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm giving you some tools, and I will be giving you tools for having a better relationship, building intimacy, and getting close. There is nothing like the 16th. There is nothing like trying to find something where you could go in and feel, even at the smallest amount, some kind of real breathing together love. It's really amazing. Here's another question you have for yourself. When you're at talking to your mate, are you using your work voice? Now, this is a very important thing. Sometimes you get so used to using your work voice that by the time you come home, you're still using your work voice. A work voice is a very funny thing. Do you have a work voice? Your work voice is like this thing where you're talking But you're talking not from a real place. You're talking from like a kind of phony place where you're in a position. And I've heard people do this with each other. I know a couple of people, I've watched a couple of people, and I've heard them in their work voices. And they have this kind of, you know, position they have with their voices. And they talk a little bit phony, but they're being professional, and they have a phone voice. And then I watch them when they're mates, with their mates, and usually if they have a love relationship, the voices change. And you go from your work voice to a real voice. But whenever I find somebody who is talking to their mates with a work voice, I feel funny. How come there's no difference? You know? All right, this is Armand Demille. We're going to give you some more things. How about the following? How about detox showers? How about taking a shower with your partner? Your partner comes home, let's take a shower together. No sex play. Just let's take a shower. Let's wipe off the day. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Let's get this day off our skin. Whatever happened today, let's get it off our skin. Let's wash it out of our hairs so that we could be together in a different way. Showering together is something that is easy to set up. You make a date for it. Let's shower before we eat. Let's shower before we watch television. Let's shower before we talk. Can you imagine the difference? Imagine if you were feeling stressed with your mate and you're about to have a conversation with them and instead you took a shower before you talked. Now look at that. I mean, don't you think it would be different? It'd be amazingly different conversation. Unless you fought about the soap. So here comes another hint about relationships. One person says, squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom, and the other person says, squeeze the toothpaste tube from the middle. Let's say you got a couple. And the guy is always getting angry because the mate is squeezing it from the middle. And he's one of these guys who like to roll up the very bottom and make it very tight so that you know exactly how much toothpaste is left. I knew a couple who fought about this all the time. There was a solution. They got two tubes of toothpaste. Now, this may sound a little too obvious. What are we going to do with two tubes of toothpaste? Well, you have yours and I have mine. Why should we fight over toothpaste? It was so simple that you had to suspect the only reason they had conflict is because they wanted conflict. Solutions are sometimes so obvious and so easy. Okay, going along with our ways of building an intimate relationship, here comes one, pre-arranged events. There should be, it would be nice to be, 20 things each year that you do together. It could be season tickets. It could be taking a trip. But there should be things that you can actually look forward to. Prearranged events. They make such a difference. Such a great difference. Another tool that people have used is they tape record arguments. Now, this is an interesting thing because tape recorders are really wonderful. You know, tape recorders are fantastic for being able to hear yourself back. Videotape is even better, but that's complex. Then you got to be running the videotape while you're doing it. Try to get tapes that automatically reverse, you know what I mean? Let them, that they turn over by themselves so that at the end it doesn't click off and then you forget to turn it on. Listen to the tapes, and then what you do is you have the argument and each of you listen to the tape by yourself. Don't play it to the other person. I want you to hear what you said because anybody who's using replay is using it for accusatory reasons. You want to learn about yourself. I knew a man who snored. He didn't believe he snored. His wife told him, "You have a horrible snore." And he says, "I don't have a horrible snore. I've never heard myself snore. I don't snore." See, to the average person who snores, they don't know they snore. How could they? They're asleep. Snoring takes place when you're in your deepest sleep, usually. So they set up a voice recorder. A voice-activated tape recorder one of those tape recorders that if a noise was loud, it would start rolling and recording. And he recorded his voice of his snoring, and he told me, I heard the worst sound I ever heard in my life. It was a complete buzzsaw. It was such a horrendous sound. He said this thing was like, it was like a truck going through your bedroom. It was such a loud sound. He said, I couldn't believe it was me, but it was me. You know what happened? Once he heard it, he stopped snoring. What a strange thing. We should hope that being aware of ourselves helps us stop being such fools. Don't you think? Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to go on for just a couple of more things that I think are valuable to you. And I would give you a time to call today, but I really want to get this out to you, and we'll have this out to you all. I've got so many things I would like to bring to you. Okay, here comes another thing. Name the 10 things you'd like to have done for you. No, I have my better idea. I have a better than the 10 things you'd like done for you. Did you ever want to buy your mate a Christmas gift, a birthday present, a present, but you couldn't give it to them? You couldn't figure out what to buy, how much you're going to spend. All right, it's our anniversary. Let me tell you, anniversaries are important. I know most of the guys out there think it's not, and most of the women tend to believe it is. Anniversaries are important. Celebrating different symbolic dates are very important when you do it together, you know? And they're more important than most people think. But how do you buy a present? How do you get a gift? You know, friends, gifts are the easiest things in the world. Let me tell you what you give each other. You give each other gift certificates. Now, that sounds kind of cold, doesn't it, a gift certificate? Well, here's what the gift certificate says. This certificate entitles you to a half-hour foot rub massage on demand. Whenever you present this, you'll get a half-hour foot massage. This certificate entitles you to sex of your making, any kind you want, during this time. This certificate, when presented, it tells you, I will make you a home-cooked meal. Yeah, I need a little warning on this one, but this one requires some kind of a warning, like a 12-hour warning. You hand it to me, and I will make you dinner, lunch, breakfast, whatever you want. This certificate. Now you get the idea. I'll wash your clothing. I'll clean your closet. Now imagine if you made up for Christmas 10 gift certificates. Things that your partner would like you to do for them. That you know they love when you do it. You know, they love when you make whatever it is, pasta the way Mama used to make it. You know, whatever it is. Whatever it is. You know what they love. You know they like getting their fingers massaged or their ankles stroked. You know that they like love anywhere other than the usual place. You know they love it, even if they have sexual preferences. You know, you offer it. These gift certificates, if you're really smart, come in a little, you can make them into a little booklet so they could tear it off. You could give them 2 dinners. You know, and according to what you enjoy doing the most, and 3 foot massages, and some ankle stroking, and some waist stuff, and, you know, whatever it is they like. If they like nasal sex, give them nasal sex. I'm just kidding around, because I always like whenever I say nasal sex, people get funny in their minds. But, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, this is a really interesting idea. You could give gifts to your mate like this. They may take it when they first open and go, big deal. But when they start cashing these in, it is phenomenal. Now, here's a couple of things, you know, and there's one more gift that I once saw that I think is phenomenal. You make a key. a paper key. You draw a paper key and you write on it, "This is the key to my heart. Please use it with extreme caution. But if you ever need to reach my heart when my heart doesn't see available, please present this certificate." Hey, pretty good stuff, friends. Pretty good loving stuff. Lastly, let me tell you, I'm just going to give you one or two more. You might try always calling ahead. You know, calling ahead to tell your mate what your timing is a very nice thing. Because just like I said, people don't like their space change, they don't like the light change, they don't like the sound change in their room. People frequently don't like to have things suddenly just happen by, you know, it's like nice to have some kind of warning. So call ahead and let them know your timing. It's a nice thing nowadays with cell phones, it's much easier to do. So that's it. I am going to bring you a little music today that's special for you. I'm going to bring you Cheb Mami. Cheb Mami, just because it's such a wonderful energy, C-H-E-B-M-A-M-I. And if you wanted a copy of today's program, you would call my office. I'm going to give you two different numbers because our phones are a little busted, and that means a lot of busy signals. 212-757-4488 or 212-757-5555. And the website is thepositivemind.com. And a reminder, Roberta Atti has her workshop this weekend at Sufi Books. And we will be back with you on Tuesday with more stuff about relationships, friends. Be sure to tune in.
که تو آب سر تو هدیم و ها که تو آب و ها و ها که تو آب سر تو هدیم و ها که تو آب و ها و ها که تو آب سر تو هدیم و ها که تو آب ها که تو آب سر تو هدیم و ها که تو آب و ها حالی وشی کارتونی و گوتو اسروزی ویا ایها کج حد سیب لی و هنیا وقلتو اضروجي وهي كنت حتى تسيب لديك هو هنا يا المدو يا وها ها دوق وقلتو هدي يا وها ها دوق يلي وها ها دوق هل عدتو هدي يا
25 ans maghrébin du nord parisien du nord on bouge pas on jog pas on est bien d'accord bonne situation sociale paradis fiscal tes comptes bancaires mon frère j'en ai 500 ouais y'a quoi à l'aise blaise appelle-moi Pascal et tais-toi Mercoscap comme d'hab stab ma vie n'est pas une femme 8 heures le bureau vie réglée je tape comme un fou faut pas délirer et quand je suis pas naïf ma couleur je m'en contrefiche fais mon bis compétitif
Hit the young, hit the young.